This is Theremin 30. 30 minutes of Theremin music, news, events, and interviews with a new episode about every 30 days. Now, here's your host from Denver, Colorado, USA, Rick Reed.
Hey there, this is the August 2023 episode of the Theremin 30 podcast and the second episode of Season 5. I took a bit of a break since the last episode. I got caught up in my freelance work projects and some health issues, including some weird problems with my voice. But I'm sounding more like myself now, so if you're ready to listen to me, I believe I'm ready to talk. In this episode, I have theremin music from Tharsis Project, Andrew Levine, Paulo Pasquale, and my interview guest, Kip Rosser. I had Kip on the show back in March to talk about the Juliet Shaw Legacy Project, but you only heard about half of the conversation, so this month I'm going to play the rest of that interview as Kip talks about his own musical adventures. To get things going, here is the second single from Tharsis Project, a collaboration between John Carr and Ernesto Mendoza, with a track called Prototype. Thank you. We started the episode with Prototype by Tharsis Project. After that, we heard an exclusive edit from the new live experimental album, Andrew Levine Live in Portugal. This track, recorded May 3rd of this year at Cosmos in the Campolija neighborhood of Lisbon, features Andrew on theremin and electronics with José Bruno Parinha on bass and Ernesto Rodriguez on viola. The full track and the entire album are available on Bandcamp. Click on Andrew's name in the show notes at theremin30.com. After the break, I've got the Theremin 30 calendar of events and film music from Paolo Pasquale. And later in the show, I'll visit with Kip Rosser. So stay tuned. The Theremin 30 podcast is supported by affiliate programs with Eargasm Earplugs, eBay, Reverb, and Zounds. When you follow these links and banners on our website, a portion of any purchases you make will help keep this show in the ether. So start shopping at theremin30.com. It's time now for a look at the Theremin 30 calendar of Theremin events. On August 3rd, Andrew Levine joins organist Michael von Hinzenstern for a classical recital in Bad Berka, Germany. Also on August 3rd, Marla Goodman celebrates the opening of her theremin-themed art exhibit in Billings, Montana, with a live performance. Then on August 4th, there will be an artist reception and theremin demos. To learn more about her wonderful theremin artwork, look for the link in this month's show notes. Both August 15th and August 27th are recognized as the birthday of Professor Leon Theremin. Why two birthdays? Well, it has to do with Russia switching calendar systems a long, long time ago. But that gives us 2 days to celebrate, so I'm not complaining. For details about these events and many more, check out the interactive calendar on theremin30.com. If you have a Theremin event you'd like me to list on the calendar, send me a note with all the details. You can reach me with the contact form on the Theremin 30 website. And lately, I've been a bit lax about finding events to add to the calendar, so do help me out by sending me information about your concerts, workshops, and other Theremin-related activities. Negro Púrpura, or Black Purple, is a Spanish historical documentary that looks at how hallucinogenic fungus was cultivated by farmers in Galicia. The 2021 film, directed by Sabella Iglesias and Adriana Villanuevas, has been playing at festivals in Europe this year. Paolo Pasquale of Vigo, Spain, created the music for the film, and he sent me some cues to play on the show. Maybe it isn't obvious, but I don't speak Galician particularly well, so I'll give the English titles. First, we'll hear The Magic of Fungus, followed by Lights in the River. Thank you. That was music by Paolo Pasquale from the soundtrack of the documentary film Negro Purpura, or Black Purple. It's a movie about the history of the hallucinogenic fungus that grows on grain in the Galicia region of northwest Spain. You can watch the film's trailer featuring Paolo Pasquale's music on the Theremin 30 YouTube playlist. Coming up after this break, I'll visit with American thereminist Kip Rosser, so stay right here. Hey, this is Rick Reed, producer and host of the Theremin 30 podcast. Did you know that you can advertise with Theremin 30? You can place banner ads on the website or even get a commercial played right here in the middle of the show. It's a great way to promote products, services, and events to the Theremin community. And honestly, this show does not have a huge audience, at least not yet. But that means it doesn't cost much to get involved. You can find rates and details at theremin30.com. I interviewed Kip Rosser earlier this year about the Juliet Shaw Legacy Project. Because we were talking about Juliet Shaw, I didn't have time in the show to share parts of our conversation about his own career as a thereminist, so I'm going to fix that right now. Kip Rosser, thanks so much for joining us on the Theremin 30 podcast.
You're very welcome. Happy to be here.
You are involved in theremins in lots of different ways. So give me a little brief introduction of your history of thereminning.
I started playing in 1996, and it was a complete fluke. There was a radio station in East Orange, New Jersey called WFMU. At that time, they were wild. You never knew what you were going to hear. And they used to put a catalog out called Weird Stuff every year. 1 year, I got the catalog. And on the bottom right-hand corner was a little tiny ad that advertised a theremin kit that you could buy. It was $150 back then. It was by PAIA, the Pia Theramax. And I had no idea that Moog was still making theremins, that there was an entire theremin community out there. I just knew what a theremin was. So I bought the kit, put it together, and for 7 months, that's the theremin that I used. After that, I realized I could have bought one put together. And I got a Moog. It wasn't called Moog at the time. It was called Big Briar. It was a Big Briar Etherwave. And that was really the transition point, because playing that instrument was completely different. I had to basically relearn how to play the theremin. It was more stable. It was more accurate. I could get a lot more done with it. So I started in 1996. And from there, I just practiced for 2 years before allowing myself to play in public at all.
You've played with orchestras and...
I've never played with an orchestra. I would love to. That's one of my fantasies. There are a lot of people who have played with orchestras, but I never have. I've played with live musicians on various occasions. Rarely. There was a time when I had a wonderful jazz and classical pianist that I play with regularly. She and I played for years, but she moved away. I've played with a concert pianist from San Francisco, and one of my CDs is him and myself. In 2005, he and I put on a show at the New York International Film Festival called The Unholy Secrets of the Theremin. On one Sunday afternoon in 2005, while we were on stage, Bob Moog died.
Oh.
And I was playing his Etherwave Pro. I never met Bob Moog, but I did speak to him on the telephone one time, and he yelled at me. He yelled at me because it was my first public theremin performance. Mm. It was done on Cape Cod, and very odd wiring, and the theremin wouldn't function no matter what. So I called Moog Music, and Bob Moog answered the telephone. This was around 1998, 1999, and we talked a little bit, and he told me I could get a deep cycle marine cell, which is like a car battery, to hook up to a power inverter and power the theremin off of that, which I did. It was very expensive at the time, like $200 for a deep cycle marine cell. And he asked me, how long have you been playing the theremin? I said, 2 years. And it's my first public performance. And he hit the roof. He started screaming at me that Clara Rockmore and Lydia Academy practiced 6.5 hours a day, every day for 6 years before we dared to play in public. And I couldn't believe that Bob Moog was yelling at me. That was the only time, my only confrontation with him at all. he chewed me out for not going for another 4 years before coming out in Bolt. I always watched interviews with him. I always wanted to meet him. I wished he could have heard me play. I have no animosity towards him at all for yelling at me. It was just his mood that day. I thought it was hilarious. Bob Bogan laughing at me and yelling at me. It was really funny.
You've done some movie soundtrack work, haven't you?
Lydia Kavina, Charles Lester, a couple of other people have played for film scores out of Hollywood. And I've only done one theremin score. I wrote the score for an independent film by Michael Jason Allen called An Idle Mind is the Devil's Playground. You can see it on Prime, I believe. You can also see it on Tubi. It's a film that's only about an hour long because he knew he didn't want to try to sustain it for longer. It's in beautiful black and white. The cinematography is amazing. And it's sort of his homage to a Twilight Zone. He found me on Reverb Nation and contacted me and asked me if I would be willing to write the score for his film. And I said, sure. So I did. There was another very, very short film by a director named Sabina Potasnik. She asked me to write a score for theremin music. It was more properly, I would call it sound effects for her movie called Gravity. There was also a filmmaker. Her name at that time was Toddy Burton. It was about a 15-minute film. The film composer contacted me and asked him if I would play the theremin parts in his score. So I was able to do that as well. Those are the only film experiences I've ever had.
Now, most people know you from your YouTube videos. Tell people about that who maybe haven't seen them.
Since 2011, apart from the music videos, which I occasionally put up, my real focus was putting up tutorials. Starting in 2011 till just last year, I have made theremin tutorials, which to me was the only thing that I thought was really worth putting up. It felt like a contribution. Mm-hmm. Playing music, you see tons of theremin videos, people playing music, and there are some wonderfully, amazingly talented thereminists out there now. I would argue that there are more theremin players in the world now than there ever have been, ever. I put up these tutorials because I thought, this is what I can really contribute. At the time that I started, I never knew that there were things online. When I got the Etherwave, it came with a VHS tape of Lydia Kavina's Mastering the Theremin. It changed a little bit about the way I started playing, but my vision for what I wanted to play was always far exceeding my technical abilities. So when I began learning to try to play Bach and Dvorak and things like that, I had to develop techniques that I'd never seen before in order to play them. So the evolution of my techniques is what I put up there. I developed techniques that, quite honestly, I've never seen anyone do. I've never seen anyone deal with various aspects of the theremin. So I decided to put up things that I thought would really help. But then people started texting me or emailing me about the theremini and how they were having trouble calibrating it. And that inspired an entire theremin course.
Mm-hmm. Do you teach theremin?
Sure.
In person in Pennsylvania or online?
Until COVID, I could teach occasionally in person. Then COVID happened.
So I guess now you're teaching more safely over the web.
It was actually my son that inspired me to do it. He asked me, how come I've never taught online? And there really wasn't any reason why I couldn't. So I created a website just called thereminlessons.com. People can go there and book a lesson. You book it up by selecting your date on a calendar, and it takes you to PayPal. I get notification. I always respond personally, and we work it out from there. I like to find out what model of theremin people are playing, how long they've been playing, do they play any other instrument. All of it helps me to understand where it is they're at and what types of things that we can work on when we're together. And it's great because you can do a lesson halfway across the world. It's fabulous.
Let's finish the show now with some movie music by Kip Rosser. Here is the title theme from An Idle Mind is the Devil's Playground, a 2016 indie feature film directed by Michael Jason Allen. Thank you. That was Kip Rosser with the theme from An Idle Mind is the Devil's Playground. You can learn more about Kip by following the link in this month's show notes. Thanks so much for joining me for another 30-minute trip into the ether. And thanks to Tharsis Project, Andrew Levine, Paolo Pasquale, and Kip Rosser for providing the tunes. Also thanks to Kip Rosser for sharing stories about his theremin adventures. I've already started planning the next episode of the Theremin 30 podcast, but I have some room for more music, so if you have professional quality original theremin music that's either your own composition or in the public domain, I'd love to share it with listeners around the world. So contact me through the website. Also, please tell your friends about this show and share links to it on social media. You can also rate and review Theremin 30 on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher to help me get the word out. Until next time, I'm your host, Rick Reed. I'll see you in the ether.
You've been listening to the Theremin 30 podcast. Visit Theremin 30 on the web at theremin30.com.